Recording in progress.
Good evening. Welcome, everyone, to our May 7th, 2025 Board of Douglas County Commissioners 5:30 business meeting. There's Commissioner Kelly right on cue. He is remote, as you can see this evening, so I will be filling in for him and facilitating the meeting in person, which is a little bit simpler. Thank you to those of you who have joined us. I'll sort of mention informally, since we have a mild crowd today, that Robin did make a whole pot of coffee back there in case anybody needs a little caffeine boost. Paper copies of the agenda are also available for those who are here in person, and the full packet is available on our website. Reviewing our agenda, first we will consider our consent agenda. There are four items on that agenda tonight. After our consent agenda, we will have general public comment. We welcome general public comment for addressing issues not on today's agenda, but otherwise related to county business. Given our limited time and the need to have an orderly and efficient meeting, we apply certain rules regarding public comments. We will do our best to enforce these rules consistently and without regard to the point of view expressed by the speaker. Each speaker will be limited to a total of 3 minutes of speaking time. However, we will accept public comment of any length in writing. Individual speakers may not donate unused time to other speakers. All comments must address topics within the jurisdiction of the County Commission. And we reserve the right to mute or remove any speaker whose comments are threatening, aggressively hostile, or belligerent. Campaigning for public office during the public comment period is not allowed. Please give your full name and your residence for our business meeting minutes and address your comments to the commission directly. Please also know that comments received by the commission during our meetings do not necessarily represent the views of Douglas County government, but we do value the input. We don't necessarily respond to general public on the spot, but if you leave your contact information with county staff, we will try and get specific questions answered afterward. After that, we will move on to our regular agenda. There are two items on that this evening, and for each action item, we will hear from staff and or an applicant, followed by questions from the commission, and then open that item up for public comment relevant to that item specifically. Once public comment is closed, we will bring the item back to the commission for further discussion and a vote. Lastly, a recording of this meeting will be available on the county's YouTube page and the website later. With that, we will start with the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull anything for further discussion or questions? Okay, seeing none. Does anybody in the public, anybody here in the room wish to pull anything from the consent agenda? Seeing no indication, I'll double check if anybody online has raised their hand. I don't think I mentioned that earlier. For anybody who might be listening online, please raise your hand if you do wish to provide public comment throughout the meeting. Okay, seeing no public comment, I'll bring that back for a motion.
I move to approve the consent agenda, items 1.1 through 1.4.
I second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes unanimously. Move on to general public comment. Is there anybody in the room who would like to provide general public comment this evening? Go ahead and come on up.
John Ems, Lawrence. I want to talk a little bit about county commission metrics. Three of them: accountability, efficiency, and transparency. We'll use homelessness as the focus. Accountable. Do you manage taxpayer dollars to accomplish the budgeted purpose? Over the course of 14 years, homelessness has not attained functional zero. Your strategic goal date keeps changing. It was 2023, now it's 2028. That's point one. Point two, Douglas County's negative governance rating from Moody's is because your audits do not use generally accepted accounting principles. Point three, 54% of supportive housing projects are sourced from ARPA, A-R-P-A, also called the COVID-19 stimulus package. That's $707,000 in 2024. That's unsustainable with this administration. Efficiency. What percentage of the taxpayer dollars actually goes to the intended purpose? Number one, for example, tunnel to towers 90.4% of dollars to veterans is a good standard to compare yourself to. The percentage that reaches the homeless, as stated in the Lawrence Douglas County Housing Authority and Burton Nash 2025 MOU, is 72%. That's not good, not a good percentage comparison. The ratio of administrators to homeless across all NGO, the community partners, appears to be too high. Number four, the Burton and Nash Center website reports metrics. Percentage of discharged clients showing a reduction in functional impairment, 2024, no data provided. Homeless outreach, 2024, no data provided. Outpatient program, average reduction in functional impairment, no data provided. Transparency, do published data points reveal government operations? I'm glad you have a new interactive homeless dashboard that can be expanded. Your focus has long been on housing projects and costs. Putting heads in beds does not solve homelessness. The data that Burton Nash started on their website, but it's missing, service throughput, treatment status for addicted, abused, financially troubled, former inmates, etc. How many started? How many left? How many finished with a functional improvement? Point two, can citizens look up spend by NGOs? No, not that I've found. Point three, county and open budget tool is both for the city and the county. The open budget tool is really far less transparent than the actual budget files, which are not easy to look at either, but there are no drill down opportunities in the budget tool. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Is there anybody else here who would like to provide public comment? Okay, seeing nobody else in person. Has anybody raised their hand online, Sarah? Okay, thanks. Go ahead and close public comment and move on to our regular agenda item. First, we will talk about the postponement of their bond sale, and I'll go ahead and turn it over to Sarah for a little bit of further introduction.
Thanks, Commissioners, and I'm going to welcome Ben Hart, our financial advisor with Baker Tilly, up to the podium. About a week ago, a little less than that, we found, I'll let Ben explain the kind of advice coming from the financial advisor in terms of postponing the bond sale. The way our project authorization was worded is it allowed the county administrator to make that decision based off that advice, so we went ahead and postponed it. We wanted to put this item on our agenda, though, so we could be transparent and talk about what we had said we were going to do and where we are today. And then also we want to talk a little bit about our credit rating, and so I'll let Ben talk about those issues as well. So I'll turn it over to you, Ben.
Thank you. Ben Hart, again, with Baker Tilly Municipal Advisors. I've been doing this for about 30 years, and this is the first time we've ever canceled a sale. But it's also the first time we've gone through a lot of things with economics, especially in this day and age. Excuse me. Within Baker Tilly, we have a bond pricing group that watches the market and all of the debt that goes out, especially anything the size of what Douglas County's got. I received a phone call last week and says we really ought to rethink this $55 million bond issue on May 7th. I'm not sure that I want to give that news to Sarah, but they give me compelling reasons. Obviously, the Federal Reserve met today. Up until 2 o'clock, nobody knew what the rates were going to be. I know when we started this process, we had a prediction of 4 decreases throughout the year. Now we have a prediction of potentially no decreases at all this year. Nobody knew. The tariffs, obviously, whether you're for them or against them, they still cause some chaos and some noise in the stock market. The beginning of April, when the last of the tariff news came out, we had a bond sale for another client of fairly the same size as Douglas County. We had 13 different bids on it. Today, nobody was in the market. If we did, maybe one or two underwriters. I've got to keep in mind there's 15 to 25 underwriters at any one given time. There's a handful of them, about 10 or 12, that focus on the Midwest, especially Kansas credits. And Douglas County's credit is extremely strong. Even at a AA1, you're still a really strong credit. They were telling our desk, don't do this. Wait till tomorrow. Well, we can't wait till tomorrow. So I called Garth, and the suggestion to Sarah was to go ahead and postpone it 2 weeks. So he's got the process in place to publish in the Kansas Register, get everything set up. We're gonna sell on May 21st. That'll give us enough distance between the Federal Reserve meeting, but also enough distance from the next one in June. So I feel like we'll have a fairly good reply, if you will, another fairly good amount of competitive bids we get. And I know this spring we've had more bids than I've seen in a long time. And I think, again, that's just because of the volatility in the stock market. Folks are taking their money out and putting in Sure Thing, and Sure Thing is government debt, especially local government debt. So that's really the reason behind moving that sale. And as your municipal advisor, one of our jobs is to alert your staff on where we think some hiccups might occur and then come to a conclusion on that. I'm glad Sarah had me come up and talk to you guys directly about that. Also, as you know, if Douglas County has a credit rating, and the earlier gentleman had mentioned, Moody's obviously goes through a credit rating process. If you look inside of Moody's, there's a whole list of things that they go through, things that they don't ask us. They already know because they've got your financial statements. They have past rating notes. You've got a lot of strengths that they continue to repeat. For instance, a trend of stable financial operations and strong operating reserves. That's been a peak, if you will, every single year. Your strong reserves are even strong when you use the $25 million in cash on this project, complemented with the $55 million in debt. It's still considered strong reserves. Your low debt and pension burdens, again, is a credit strength. And then the biggest one is the large and growing tax base with above median full value per capita supported by institutional presence. So KU being here is a great positives. But also your full value that you have is some of the higher ones we see in Kansas, discounting Johnson County where I live. It's one of the bigger ones that we've seen. Obviously, you've got challenges, as anybody does. And when Moody's looks at cash, they look at all cash, not just general fund cash. They look at all cash for you guys because you don't have a utility. They use all of that cash. One of the negatives they mention, which in my mind is more of a, okay, so what, is the reallocation of that cash would need to come before you. Well, appropriately so, it needs to come before you if we're going to reallocate out of one fund into another. If you have that eligibility to do that, it needs to come to you guys to make that happen. That's just all part of the budget process, right? That was the only negative they had in this report. They do go through. Moody's has started to establish non-numerical credit factors. Of course, they make them into numbers. It's called ESG, Environmental, Social, and Governance. And they go through each one of those. They'll have questions for Sarah on certain pieces. A lot of it they already have asked when it was coming up. The environmental is just really related to your environment. How much of a threat does it play toward operations of the county? So tornadoes come through. That would be a negative impact if Lawrence was hit by, or any other city in Douglas County was hit by a tornado. That'd be a negative impact. What they look for is the insurance or other elements that you have in place for mitigating any kind of disasters. That's part of the process. Social governance is really about the demographics that our residents and corporate citizens within Douglas County. Bachelor's degree or higher is always a positive, obviously, in that social aspect. Now, in the governance, and that was mentioned earlier too, there's a number of factors that have to do with governance. The number one thing that they point out is strong budget management, and that has to do with the staff you've got and the process you employ in order to allocate money for operations. And that's directly their quote, is it has strong budget management. The county's policy credibility and effectiveness is is sound. Douglas County's transparency and disclosure, moderately negative and weaker than most counties because its audits are on a basis of accounting other than generally accepted accounting principles, which are not unusual for the state of Kansas. So those are some of the more highlights of the Moody's outlook we've got. They continue to be strong, and that conversation's usually a lot of fun with Sarah just because there's a lot of positive that comes out of it. And Moody's does a pretty good job too. So that's the good news. I guess the better news is we'll get better rates. And I can't guarantee it, Commissioner Dorsey, but we'll get better rates in 2 weeks.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. And yeah, I just want to reiterate that this is the second highest credit rating possible, and it's an extremely high rating. So this is the rating we've had for a period of time, and I think it's reflective of the hard work that we've done to put our financials together. We'd just be glad to answer any questions the commission has related to the bond sale or the rating.
I had a question. Does the day you sell the bonds day of the week make any difference? Are Mondays and Fridays not good days?
Or? Like a baseball player, we're superstitious on Mondays and Fridays. We don't sell on Monday unless we have to. For instance, if a city council or a county commission meet that day and we don't have a parameters resolution, we have to sell on that day. I stay away from Fridays completely.
Thanks.
But that's a good question. But Wednesday's perfect.
Well, I noticed you had it on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Any other questions from other commissioners for Ben or Sarah? Okay. I don't see any from Commissioner. Okay, I got a head nod from Commissioner Kelly. So seeing none, this is a regular agenda item. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate that overview. Explanation. Is there anybody who would like to provide public comment on this item? As a reminder, I don't think I mentioned this before, but this is an information-only item. No action, clearly because of the postponement. Anybody raise their hand online, Sarah? Okay.
We have one person online. Brent B., I have unmuted you, and you can provide your public comment. Brent?
Hear me okay?
Yes.
Bovey, resident. There are two by Moody's and dated regarding this and there are this.
Brent, I'm going to, our Zoom is having, we're having a lot of technical difficulties with Zoom and we're not able to hear you well.
If you can hear us, Brent, we're going to take a pause and see if there's an opportunity to.
There's not much I can do.
There's not really much to do.
Our bandwidth has been choppy all day.
Brent, if you're there, you're welcome to start again, but we really couldn't hear much yet.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yep, go ahead.
There are two made by Moody's opinion dated 20. Detailed credit consideration items or no money's financial remain affected use of reserve fiscal. This is due for conservative budgeting third reserves. I'll say it again. Conservative budgeting has led to bolster. This is Moody's, what we've talked about.
Would it be possible, maybe we could, Mr. Bovey, maybe you could send us your comments in writing and we could attach them to the agenda packet for this item, but we really just aren't able to hear you. And I just want to make sure we get your full comments, so we could certainly update the packet after with the public comments.
I'll be glad.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brent. We did hear an affirmative, so thanks for being patient with us and sorry about that. Is there anybody else who wants to try an online comment? Okay. All right, with that, I will go ahead and close public comment and bring this back for any further discussion amongst commissioners. Okay. Seeing nobody unmute their mic, I'll just provide a comment that I appreciate the diligence in watching the market and being able to make that call and give the good advice, even though, specifically because these are unprecedented times. So I appreciate that conservative approach and hope for calmer water soon. Thanks, Ben. All right, with that, we'll move on to regular agenda item 3.2, a presentation from our planning department. We have Mary Miller with us, and I'll let her introduce it.
Robin, I don't see my presentation. Is it on here? It's probably just me. Went to share. Maybe I need to go to documents. Right here. Thanks. Okay, so you didn't share it, so let's. Catch it.
Thanks a lot.
Ben went slow. There we go. Good evening, commissioners. I'm Mary Miller, a city county planner, and this item is a request for a one-year extension to a site plan for Veritas Christian School. The property is located just south. It's in the UGA, but it's just south of the city of Lawrence. And I'll give you just a brief summary of the history of this project. It was outlined in the memo. But in 2018, Veritas submitted a site plan for phase one, which was a gymnasium. It was going to have a few internal classrooms. And then in 2021, they submitted a site plan for phase two, which you see here. It had item one is showing modular classrooms. To the west of that, there was a building addition. Item number three was a lagoon system. And then item two was a parking area. And they had a new consultant work on this site plan, and he identified a KDOT flowage easement, which had been unidentified earlier, and it actually encumbered the school building or the gymnasium. And so this site plan was put on hold while he worked with KDOT to resolve the issue. He did studies, and they were able to redraw the easement so that the encroachment, you know, was gone. In the meantime, Veritas needed a place to hold their classrooms. They weren't able to move forward with the construction. And so they used land or classroom space in a church within the city of Lawrence. And then in 2022, they submitted a conditional use permit to allow other clubs to use the gymnasium. And that's not usually required for schools, but since this is only the gymnasium portion, when the 2021 site plan went through, there was a note on the site plan that said, if you ever want to use this for other clubs, before you have all the school moved out here, then a CUP would be necessary. So they did submit the CUP, and then phase two site plan was finally approved. And they've got an extension, a one-year extension last year, just due to the timing. And then they have decided to stay in the church in the city with their classes for the time being. And so they are proposing, or they have revised this site plan to remove most of the elements. They're no longer planning on the modular classrooms, the building addition, or the lagoon system. The only item that's being considered right now is the parking area. And that should show up here in a minute. Okay, yeah, there it is. And so this is just kind of the parking area overlaying on what has been built. And so If they would decide in the future that they wanted to go ahead with phase two, they would have to submit a new site plan. And the reason we have extensions and a time frame on site plans is that if it's not built within 2 years, we want to be able to reevaluate it and make sure the zoning regulations haven't changed so that it's still compliant. Building codes sometimes change. We want to make sure everything is still compliant. As they only are looking at the parking area now, there have been no changes to the zoning regulations or the building code that apply to the parking area. And so staff does recommend approval. When we went through the review of this, we identified with the CUP that there was a tornado fire safety plan that was to have been submitted that wasn't. And so the applicant did submit that and worked with the building code official, and that has been approved. And so their CUP is compliant, and the site plan is also compliant. And so I think these are the special key points that I've already discussed. Number four, there's no new development. Sometimes we look at that with extension requests just to make sure we don't need additional landscaping due to perhaps additional residential development in the area. And so as the property is compliant with the site plan and the CUP and the building code and zoning regulations have not changed, staff does recommend approval of the one-year extension request. And so the applicant is present here if you have questions for him, and I'm also happy to answer questions if you have any for me.
Mary, I got a question. If the site plan now covers all construction planned, do you still need a CUP?
Yes, the site plan is still just for the gymnasium and the parking area, so the CUP is needed. It was very limited, but it does allow other clubs to practice here, and the CUP has a limit on how many people can be at those practices. So if the school ever did phase two and moved out completely, you would not need a CUP because schools routinely share their facilities.
Okay, so it's the fact that it's only the gymnasium.
Yeah.
Got it. Thanks.
Any other questions for staff before maybe hearing from the applicant?
I'll ask Mary this question. The proposed parking, is that gravel or paved?
It's gravel. The existing parking is gravel, so this would also be gravel.
And there weren't any issues with pervious, impervious surfaces with the what we're looking at here for the ratios?
No. As a rule, they consider gravel more pervious, so that wasn't an issue.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kelly, I don't see you unmuted, but just want to check. Okay, no questions from you. Would the applicant like to provide any further information to the commission? Okay. Thanks for being here. This is, with seeing no further questions from commissioners at this time, this is a regular agenda item. Open it up for public comment in case anybody is here on this item in the courthouse. Nobody's standing up. Anybody want to try online again? Okay. Close public comment. Bring this back for further comments or motion.
I did have a question for the applicant, if it's all right, and that's about the parking capacity. Have there been times when that parking is spilling back onto the road? Is that are you increasing the use here or just accommodating parking for the use as it is?
Aaron Gasper, CFS. We're increasing just the capacity and not the use. Yeah, we at times we see in the fall and in the winter at volleyball and basketball games that parking lot being full. Which is the reason we want to expand it. But, yeah, not increasing the use, just increasing the parking.
Thank you.
Any further questions for the applicant?
I do have one more question for you. With 150 parking spaces, have you had any concern from residents with that additional volume out there?
No, I have not heard anything. Have you heard anything, Mary, from neighbors about the additional parking? I've heard more of a concern about the parking spilling out on the road.
No, I did receive some calls from neighbors, but when I let them know that most of the features on the site plan, the building addition, the modular classrooms were being removed, they didn't have any concerns. So I didn't have any specific comments about the parking area.
Can you elaborate on the concerns that you did receive?
Well, they just called me to ask me what was happening, and I told them that the site plan was being reduced in scope so that there would be no build modular classrooms. The building addition wasn't being considered. There would be no lagoons, but they did want to keep the parking area. And so the caller just said, well, that's fine. I'm not concerned. I think they would have been concerned, possibly, you know, the neighbors. They didn't express any concerns to me, but once I explained that it had been reduced in scope, then they didn't have any either, but I assume that's why they called.
Thank you. So this is in my district, and I haven't heard anything about it recently or with this proposed change at all. I would say that I had heard from neighbors in the past about, you know, parking along the road, where I think this, you know, is a benefit to relieving that for the community, for that passageway through there. So I'm in favor of the proposal.
Would you like to turn that into a motion, Commissioner Early, since I'm not seeing any other questions from commissioners?
I sure will. I move to approve a one-year site plan extension for SP-21-0004 for Veritas Christian School at 960 East 1296 Road, with the possibility of an additional extension at the end of the one-year period based on the school's change in plans and the fact that there have been no changes to the regulations or codes that would affect the proposed parking area.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passed unanimously. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Mary. Okay, that closes our regular agenda, and we'll move on to appointments, which I don't believe we had any queued up for this week. Any discussion that commissioners want to have? Okay, seeing none, I'll move on to Commissioner Administrator Miscellaneous and start with Sarah's memo.
Thanks, commissioners. You've got a pretty big memo attached. Since we didn't have a meeting last week, there's a number of updates attached to it. There is an update attached about the Housing and Human Services Program and changes to the Housing Stabilization Collaborative moving forward for the rest of the year. We did not receive as much revenue from the City of Lawrence to help support that program, so the program's had to undergo some changes. So I'd ask you to take a look at that. The full Lawrence Douglas County Fire Medical Compliance Report is attached. There's also a memo from our Heritage Conservation Coordinator, Caitlin Ammerline, on the 2025 Heritage Events and Celebration Fund awardees, plus several of your kind of standard monthly reports. So, commissioners, next week we have a work session at 4 on Public Works and our CIP, and that's all I have. I think I've got two commissioners that will be gone for the June 4th commission meeting, and I know Commissioner Kelly had some conflicts that day, so I was wondering if we needed to cancel the June 4th meeting, or if, I mean, we'd still have a technically have a quorum, but I just wanted to see how you all felt.
I have no qualms with canceling that meeting if it doesn't interfere with any agenda items in progress.
I'm one of the ones that has a conflict. I could probably zoom in if needed, but if we're losing more than one commissioner, then I think that makes sense to not hold that meeting, and we certainly could hold out that if we ended up having a packed summer, that we could bring it back.
Agreed. Can go either way. I can either zoom in or we can cancel the meeting if we don't have a whole lot of agenda items.
Right now, I don't have anything on the schedule for the 4th, so if we just note that we're going to take that one off, then we will move items around accordingly. Does that sound good? Great. All right, so I will show the June 4th meeting as canceled. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioners, that's all I've got.
Commissioner Kelly, I noticed that you're unmuted but possibly frozen. Wondering if you want to chime in.
I don't clicked on the 4th. Into my quickly, but going forwards. Could you hear?
We couldn't hear very well, but I think I got that you don't have a conflict on the 4th. I'm not sure what else you might have said.
Yeah, I do, but I'll follow up on that.
He has a conflict earlier in the day and was going to be able to be there for the 5:30, but not for any work sessions. But I didn't have a work session scheduled that day.
That's right.
Anyway.
I think it seems simplest to cancel it if there's no reason not to. So it sounds like we have consensus. Thanks, Sarah. Okay, any updates or things for the good of the order that other commissioners would like to bring up? Okay, seeing none, we are adjourned. Safe travels, Commissioner Kelly.
It's been particularly bad today. I mean, we've had...